Welcome to Partnering with Parents, brought to you by the Classical Academies. Join us every other Tuesday as we educate, encourage, and support parents in their role as the primary educator.
Well, I'm Cameron Curry. I'm the CEO for the Classical Academies, and I value the time we can get together for another podcast. Today, we have a guest with us, Jill Sylvester, and she is a licensed mental health counselor. She's actually the author of the Nautilus Award-winning book, Trust Your Intuition, 100 Ways to Transform Anxiety and Depression for Stronger Mental Health. And she's also the host of the podcast, Trust Your Intuition. She is the creator of Planting the Seeds, a Mom's Choice award-winning line of social and emotional tools and curriculum for parents and teachers. So Jill, welcome to the program.
Hi there, Cameron. Thanks for having me.
What are some other things our listeners may want to know about you?
Well, I'm a writer and I have a few books out and creator of the podcast that you mentioned and creator of the line of Planting the Seeds cards. And each, from the podcast to the books to the Planting the Seeds cards are all designed to help people transform darkness and turn it into light. So whether that's our thoughts that are negative, or, you know, we're having a tough time dealing with anxiety, or we're feeling down, you know, especially the world that we live in at the moment.
Right.
It's really about transforming the way we feel so that we get better thoughts and feelings and live, you know, a purposeful life. Take a swig of water.
I love that. Well, and Jill, we're going to be talking about planting social and emotional health seeds. And you've authored several books, as you've touched on already, and you've developed a line of tools of, you know, building self-esteem called Planting the Seeds. So can you tell us a little bit more about all of that?
Yeah, Planting the Seeds is, we're really proud of these products that we sell. They're a line of self-help tools based on therapeutic models of self-esteem building for children. So I created this line of cards called Planting the Seeds years ago when I started working with kids because I was looking for tools to use in session to help kids transform negative thoughts into positive ones, like I mentioned.
Okay.
And so the cards are about, we have two sets, positive energy cards for kids 5 to 8, and then we have affirmations to overcome anxiety for kids 8 and up, and they're great for adults too. And they're basically cards that are designed to help kids reprogram those neurotransmitters to overcome anxious feelings and negative feelings and really start to, you know, direct those neurotransmitters in the direction that you know, we want them to go. So they're tools used to start the morning. A lot of parents put them in lunch boxes for kids around the breakfast table. You start the day with a positive thought. And what happens is, lo and behold, when we start the day that way, we really have a far more productive, purposeful, positive day. And when parents and caregivers can come back to the cards later on, you know, how did it play out for you today? Mm-hmm. What kind of thoughts did you have as a result of, you know, planting the seeds in the morning and thinking that way? It helps kids to really start to, just think in ways that serve them a lot better.
Really, it's an intentional approach. It's mom and dad, grandpa and grandpa, aunts and uncles, you know, getting up and being really intentional with starting the day off right, having positive conversations, and then, like you said, when they get home, let's do some wrap up. Let's, you know, what was discovered as we started the morning that way.
Yeah, and that's, you know, the thing. If you're, you know, parent or teacher listening, it's really about developing this skill, flexing this muscle in the area of social and emotional. You know, if we didn't need it before all of this, the pandemic, then, you know, we just need it more than ever. It's so important to circle back, to check in with your kids and, you know, ask them these questions, take their emotional temp, you know, get the pulse on their day and what's going on. And these tools are designed to aid that process.
So taking basically all of your clinical work, how has that really changed in 2020 and 2021? What trends have you seen? Has the world really changed? And, you know, what are you seeing as the impact of that?
I see kids, you know, far more anxious. You know, anxiety, you know, Harriet Lerner said, if you breathe, you have an anxiety disorder, right? So, you know,
right.
we all struggle with anxiety. But now it's really, it's alarming. It's alarming what these kids are going through. And the disconnection and the isolation, that has me concerned from a psychological standpoint, in terms of development for these kids, because I think that, you know, the health crisis is one level, but then there's the mental health crisis on top of that. And so it does have me concerned for kids. And that's why, you know, with my blog each week and my podcast, I am talking a lot about really trying to drive the point home that we have got to take these things that are challenging and turn them into something good. You know, connecting with your kids more often is something that, you know, if it hasn't been done by now, then I hope that people I would encourage you to begin, because these kids need people to take the time and ask them how they're doing. They need to be talking about the way they feel, even if they say, you know, go away, right? If they're an adolescent, they need you more than ever. So being able to talk about things, talk about how they're feeling drained and tired and, you know, feeling depressed and feeling anxious, this is something we're seeing a lot more of.
Across the board, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Is that really what kids need most right now? They need not only the connection with somebody else, but really almost some intentional effort by parents to really press in on a daily basis?
Yeah, I love your use of the word intention, because it all comes down to intention. You know, if you want to have a good day or a bad day, it starts with intention. And so when you're saying in the morning, you know, I really want to have a positive, fulfilling day, regardless of the world at large, then you're going to have a positive and fulfilling day because you're driving the bus of your own life. And so we need to teach kids that at a young age on how to take the reins and how to paint their own canvas and what that looks like. So we need to understand what lights them up, you know, what's important to them socially and emotionally. How can they connect when they're not getting, you know, the normal type of, connections that they're used to? You know, how do we help them to recreate the life that they want to have? And having these conversations with kids and letting them know that that is possible starts at home from the top down. We need to learn to teach parents that as well, so that they can role model for their kids that it's going to be okay, but you have to believe and you have to set your intention, and then you have to work and flex that muscle on making that happen. It doesn't just happen like magic. You have to set that intention and then work your program.
And for those who may not have your cards right in front of you or right in front of them at the time, are there some really just some easy, simple conversations that we should be having on a daily basis with our kids?
Yeah. You know, depending on the child, so if you've got an articulate child and you want to take that emotional temperature and emotional pulse and be able to ask them, you know, what was the best part about your day? What was the worst part about your day? If you could do something differently, you know, what would that look like? What made you happy? Why? You know, so really get in there and start to ask them questions so that they can look forward to these conversations, because kids really do. They look forward to when you ask them questions about what's going on beyond, you know, good day, yes, no, you know, kind of thing. And then for kids who aren't as forthcoming, I always like to do the 1 to 10, you know, 10 being the best part, you know, 10 being the best day you could have. What was it? And so when you start to ask this consistently, you're going to get a baseline. So if you're, for example, when I used to ask my son, he's 21 now, I still ask him 1 to 10, you know, the baseline was 7. So anything above a 7 was a great day, you know, and anything under a 7, that's when you stop as a parent, you stop what you're doing and you say, let's have a chat. What's going on? Because they're learning how to answer you and they're wanting you to find out more. And so that's your time to have the conversation and press a little bit more. But, you know, 1 to 10. And then again, for kids who are a little bit more forthcoming, you can certainly ask, you know, for more information right away.
So are there specific things that parents can do to help their kids at home in the areas of social and emotional health?
Yeah. Ask questions, you know, ask, sometimes we get so caught up in our own work and what we're doing and our own schedules and, you know, adult stuff, that we forget sometimes to ask the people at home, including the adults in our house, of how they're doing and taking their pulse and checking in and, you know, just creating a space. So supper time is a great time. You know, people do roses and thorns, or, you know, the positives and negatives of the day. This is the time when you're most likely to sit together in the morning. What kind of a day do you want to have? You know, I used to ask my daughter when she was little, you know, what's your goals for today? And she said to have a happy, positive day. And so I would say, what do you have to do to make that happen? And so we would talk about how it's really not the outside world that's going to give us that happy, positive day. It's what we're bringing to the day. So she would say things like, you know, I have to ask people how they are, or make people laugh, or, you know, and it gets kids thinking, you know, critically about how it isn't just, oh, I got an A on a test, so it was a happy day, or I got a C on a test and it was a bad day. That's not how it has to be. You know, what you bring to it, the intention you set, and the design you want to create for your life is usually how it's going to go. And when you give kids that power, they can take it and run with it. And that's what we need to teach them at a young age. So asking questions, you know, creating a space and teaching them how to do it. And if it doesn't come naturally, because it doesn't to a lot of parents.
Sure.
And that's what the cards are for. You know, we have digital conversation tools that aid the cards. And those are also on my website, so that you can go in and get the questions, you know, 5, 6, 7 questions to go with each card, and creating conversation that way. So for people that need that assistance, we have tools for that as well.
So Jill, as a mental health professional, talk to us about the impact of technology. You know, our kids have a smartphone in their hand probably, 15 hours a day? Some are sleeping with it. It's in their rooms all the time. I mean, there's this separation anxiety and stuff. So talk to us a bit about the technology.
You know, I would say something that's really, I've been passionate about this subject of taking phones out of kids' bedrooms for a long time. But I want to really stress that today, especially with kids being at home and you know, having too much technology at their fingertips. Technology is an amazing tool, and it is a great tool to stay connected right now. So I want to be clear in saying that technology is great for keeping kids connected right now. However, especially for the younger ones, you know, I really push for right up till junior year to have kids put their phones away in the kitchen downstairs, in the parents' bedrooms, you know, if there's a trust issue, but out of the rooms at night, because they've got to get their sleep. Because if they don't get their sleep and they've got the whole FOMO thing going on and they just, you know, want to be connected at all times, you're now skewing the picture. If we've got someone who's feeling anxious and depressed and they're not getting enough sleep, that could be more of a sleep issue than a straightforward anxiety and depressed issue, you know? And so we have to cover the basics and make sure kids are getting enough sleep and that they have a break from technology. There's a time to use it and stay connected. Absolutely. Have fun with it. Learn from it and talk to your friends and stay connected. But it's really important for kids to get a break. And so, you know, each parent is the king and queen of their own home, you know, so they get to decide. But I would really stress that kids need a break, especially where they are, you know, it's like attached to our hands at this point. And especially at night, it's really doing kids a disservice. We just see them exhausted. Their timetables are completely messed up, and it's causing more chaos.
Right.
You know? And it's harder to discern what's going on when you don't have that regulated sleep time. So very important, in my opinion.
I think so too. And Jill, I think there's actually also a component with mom and dad. Mom and dad, are you creating, you know, space from your technology? Are you setting a great example in your home? It's kind of hard to say, you know, let's all keep your phones over here, but yet dad's sitting in a chair or mom's over there. And, you know, it's really important to share that balance together as a family. So, Jill, as you wrote your book, Trust Your Intuition, 100 Ways to Transform Anxiety and Depression for Stronger Mental Health, out of the 100, are there a couple that you can share with us?
I can talk about one that I just finished with my client, one we were just talking about, which is we're not doing this anymore. So one of the techniques in the book, and the book is broken up into 5 sections. It's broken up into a trajectory of hold on, takes good self-care, believing that things can change, and then trusting your intuition, and then arriving at a place where we feel better. So each of the section in the book has 20 techniques under those headings.
Okay.
Designed of where you kind of find yourself. So let's say in the beginning where we're struggling, right? That's that place where we need to hold on. So one of the techniques, and I'll get back to we're not doing this anymore in a second, but when you start with holding on, we're in that place of dire straits. We have to start somewhere. And so sometimes it's literally a matter of the pencil in your hand, gripping it really hard, or holding onto a desk, or holding onto the kitchen sink and just taking a second to recognize that you're feeling something that's overwhelming and to acknowledge it. And then being able to name those feelings, which is another tip in the book, is to just stop and, you know, kindergartner stuff. I am mad. I am sad. Mm-hmm. I am overwhelmed. I am frustrated. Sometimes I'm happy. You know, it could be for the flip side too, just recognizing you're feeling something. So to acknowledge those emotions. And the other one that I use a lot, which is we're not doing this anymore. And so it's a technique when you just had enough, you're just doing the same repetitive behavior over and over again, to be able to stop sometimes and just say, we're not doing this anymore. And it just interrupts that pattern we get ourselves into that just becomes robotic and automatic. We don't even recognize it sometimes. And so when you can stop yourself and start to notice that you're doing something that does not serve you anymore, you can slow that process down and then recreate, you know, kind of a new crossroad to start employing a new habit. So 100 tips and techniques all under different headings, you know, depending on where you are in the process of your own personal development. But really, it's about personal growth. The whole book is about just how we self-actualize, you know, and moving along that continuum.
And I'm guessing that there's probably some real power and potential when you're able to personally put some words behind how you're feeling. I'm mad. I'm sad. When you actually label it and actually speak it, I'm sure that that's powerful for each of us to do that.
Yeah, definitely. Because a lot of times we don't know. We just lash out. We yell. We break things. You know, we do things we're not proud of. We overeat. We bite our nails. You know, whatever it is for you know, we all have our stuff. We all have mm-hmm. our quirks and habits. And so, you know, getting to the point of finding that root underneath the behavior, because there's always something. So when you can stop and recognize why you're exhibiting that behavior, why you're doing that thing you don't want to be doing, there's a reason behind it. And it comes down to feeling something. And so when you can identify that feeling, there's a whole different power level that can come in, like you said. And it's quite empowering to be able to acknowledge it, because that's when you're in a position to change the behavior and the outcome.
Love that. Love that. So Jill, where can parents or, you know, students, anyone, find your information?
They can go on my website at jillsylvester.com, and that's SYLVESTER. And our products and tools and books are all there. And then I also have a podcast called Trust Your Intuition Podcast, and that's on Apple, iHeart, all the Spotify, all the
everywhere channels. You need to be. Exactly.
Everywhere you need to be. Yeah.
So Jill, as we end our time together today, is there one final nugget you'd like to leave with us?
I would say for parents listening and for teachers listening, take the time, you know, slow down, take the time, think about what you need so you can give that to yourself. Because when you take care of yourself, you're better able to give to your kids, and they need you. They need us more than ever.
More than ever. All right. Well, Jill Sylvester, thank you so much for your time today. Thank you.
Thank you, Cameron.
Partnering with Parents is brought to you by the Classical Academies, a group of award-winning public charter schools serving over 4,500 students in Southern California. Suggest a future episode or advertise with us by visiting classicalacademy.com/podcast. Consider subscribing to our channel, leaving us a review, and supporting our Patreon page. Thanks for listening.